We're at Exodus 7. Starts on heating up now. We've had a lot of background to this point, and now we get to the beginning of the plagues and the serious confrontation of Pharaoh by Moses and Aaron to let Israel go. Verse 1, Exodus 7. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh that he must send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders on the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses and Aaron did so. Just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this story of your deliverance of your people. There's probably no greater picture of grace in a national sense than with you delivering Israel, a very obstinate people from the very beginning. And even with your great deliverance, they never got cured of that as a nation. So, Lord, I pray we would appreciate your grace, and also, Lord, understand and know a little bit about your timing and waiting on you, for they had to do that as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We do a lot of waiting. Waiting room, waiting to hear a report of some kind. And take a waiting room, for example. If you ever go to the hospital and wait on somebody, and somebody might get there and they'll sit up, they look pretty fresh. Give it an hour or two, and they're sprawled. And the longer you wait, the harder it is to wait, the more tired you get, the more weak you get, the more hopeless you get. When is that ever going to finish? When is a doctor ever going to come? On and on. That is typically waiting. We don't expect, if we wait, to get stronger and stronger while we're waiting. Yet the Bible says this about waiting on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The very opposite of what we experience when we have to wait. If we go to a restaurant and order, 20 minutes past, 25 minutes past, 30 minutes past, we're thinking it's taking too long. And we're thinking that the promise made to us is that when they ask us what we wanted, and we told them and they wrote it down and went back to the kitchen with it, they've lost that. Where is it? Because when you're waiting on people, they might fail us. So you start fidgeting and wondering and looking around, wondering if they're ever going to come. And it's frustrating. Doesn't sound like this, waiting on the Lord. You get stronger. You get more patient. You don't get tired. You walk and don't faint. You run and aren't weary. What is this? Well, obviously the key is waiting on the Lord. We're told to wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there's a difference. And waiting on men is what's really frustrating, because we don't know. sense is, if we're waiting on the Lord, we're not waiting in vain. You may be waiting in vain. If you've ever waited for Congress to fix something, you might be waiting in vain. Bible has several verses about not trusting in man, but trusting in the Lord. Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 146:3, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Isaiah 36:6, look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That last part, verse 8 of Jeremiah 17, sounds a lot like Exodus or Isaiah, when it says we renew our strength. You're like a tree planted by rivers of water. The tree grows. While you're waiting on the Lord, the tree grows. The fruit is born. So there's a radical difference between waiting on the Lord and waiting on men. And that issue is here in Exodus. From the very beginning of Exodus, the very first verse of the first chapter, you've got a genealogy there. But then you've got a situation where, verse 8 of chapter 1, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And from that time, we see that there was great suffering, because when Joseph was alive, he was known and honored and was a great man and saved Egypt, saved the lands around Egypt, the peoples around Egypt, got more land for Egypt, got more money for Egypt. He was very well favored in the sight of the pharaohs. But a king arises at some point, doesn't even remember Joseph. Joseph is no longer in the history of that land. It's faded away. Several years ago, some hip-hop guy, I don't know who it was, I can't remember, Kanye or somebody like that. And I believe it was a Super Bowl or something like that, and let's just say Kanye, give him credit, it might have been somebody else. But I know who the other guy was. The other guy was Paul McCartney. And some of the young kids... So that was awful nice of Kanye to get this guy who nobody knows to come and sing with him and maybe promote his career. And people are going, hey, that's you ever heard of the Beatles? So you lose that. I think our kids today, I think we'd be scared to know what they don't know about history, and to our detriment. But in Exodus, at the beginning of the book, and Moses is born shortly after the beginning of the book in chapter 2. And they were in need then. The people of Israel were then in bondage to Egypt. The very first chapter we see that. They're being looked upon as threats. We have to deal wisely with them. We have to keep them from reproducing. We have to put heavy burdens on them. We've got to keep them down. We've got to oppress them. Or if somebody invades our land, they'll side with the invaders and will wipe us out. When we get to chapter 7, 40 years have passed from that to this chapter. 40 years. We see it in verse 7. Moses was 80 years. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. So 40 years passed first. Let me get my timeline straight. 40 years passed first. Moses grew up, saw the Egyptians persecuting the people of Israel, and he killed the Egyptian. He was 40 years old. 40 more years go by. And now, in this chapter, he's 80 years old. So from the beginning of the book, 80 years has passed. That's a lifetime for people today. 80 years. And the Lord saw the affliction 80 years earlier than chapter 7. And chapter, 5, 2, and all this. This is where we are. And has he delivered them? No. And 80 years is a long time. And once he began to deliver them, which he does here with Moses and Aaron, he doesn't deliver them all at once. There's a process to go through. Moses has come. He's spoken to the people. And then he's gone to Pharaoh. He's already done that before chapter 7. And he tells Pharaoh, let Israel go in the wilderness and worship God. And Pharaoh turns up the heat on Israel and makes it harder for them to meet their quota of brick, but doesn't lower the quota, beats the leaders, makes it harder for them. And then the people turned on Moses. And Moses went to the Lord and said, Lord, what are you doing? You made it worse, not better. You made it worse. Now, in our minds, what would happen? Would start happening 80 years before. What is the waiting 80 years? Or when Moses is 40 years old, it starts there, but it didn't. It's 40 more years. And you might say they were waiting on the Lord 80 years. And then when Moses comes, they're waiting on the Lord some more, because when Moses showed up, he didn't show up with an escape vehicle. He showed up just with himself and Aaron, and the first thing failed, and now God is going to bring them out by a plan that has to unfold. In a movie, all this would take place within 2 hours. Because the expectation that we have of God is that he would deliver us immediately. If you're sick, now's the time to be better. If you got problems, now's the time that they be solved. And we got to observe that God did not begin to deliver Israel for 80 years. And a movie would be, first part we'd find out what the problem was, the middle part would be kind of hard. In the end, there'll be a success. Not here. And one thing that is often overlooked that is our duty is that our duty is to bear up in the will of God until he delivers us. And the 80 years, the children of Israel were required to bear up in the will of God until he delivered them. And if he didn't deliver them in 30 years, they were to bear up under that. If he didn't deliver them in 50 years, they were to bear up under that. And when Moses shows up after 80 years, they're glad, which lasted about 45 seconds. Because once Pharaoh got on to them, they were downcast, and now they weren't happy anymore, and said, "Why'd you come here to deliver us? Just leave us alone," basically. When they got out in the wilderness, they said, "Why can't we go back?" So this is what Moses is facing. You might even say then, it's longer than 80 years. Because it's 40 more years in the wilderness. It's 120 years from the start of Exodus. And God's still just now getting them into the land, and they have to fight the battle there. And they have to endure the will of God and bear up under it until the Lord's will is to deliver them. And it might be a long time. And yet the Bible says that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They're planted in the Lord, their hope is in the Lord, and their encouragement and the progress they make in their souls is from the Lord. So it turns into strength if you're trusting in the Lord. But if you're impatient, you back out of it, it seems. So this progression has begun. Instead of coming into the land and saying, "Listen, Pharaoh, we're going out of this and there's nothing you can do about it," the Lord does it in pieces. Little bit, piece by piece. And that's the way the Lord does that. It's not the first time we've seen it. Remember Joseph? Joseph, 17 years old, sold into slavery. He's 30 when he appears before Pharaoh. There's 7 years of famine. 2 years later or so, or maybe the same year, here comes his brothers. But he was 13 years. I think that's what we saw. He's 13 years in slavery in Egypt, in prison, and in service to Potiphar before that. Not to mention the fact that the Lord did not release him or rescue him from the pit that he got thrown in. And the Lord did not soothe Jacob's sorrow, remember? When Jacob was mourning his son, thought he was dead, God did not say one word to him about he's alive until he was revealed to his brothers in Egypt and they came home and told him. And then the Lord spoke to Jacob. Could he have done so before? Absolutely. 100 zillion times, but he didn't. Not one word. That's the way the Lord does things. He's not a hero. In Hollywood, Clint Eastwood, 2 hours is plenty of time. He rides into town, 2 hours, show's over. The Lord could do that in a split second. But he doesn't. He's not a hero. He's not a Hollywood star. He's the Lord God. He's got something going on. He's doing something he's going to do, and he's going to take his time doing it. And when he gets it done, he's going to do it to his glory. So that's what this is all about. So what we see unfolding now is Egypt being judged by the Lord and Israel on the very brink of deliverance. And so Moses and Aaron are ordered to go see Pharaoh. We see that in these first few verses of chapter 7. Remember, Moses didn't want to talk. Aaron, his older brother, apparently could. Send me with Aaron. So Aaron is his prophet. Moses is like God. You know, God sends prophets. They speak for God. Moses sends Aaron. He speaks for Moses. So there they go. And you're to speak, kind of the preamble of this, the first 7 verses, is you'll speak to Pharaoh that he must send the children of Israel out of his land. And the Lord said, "I surely hope he does. Let's just see what happens." The Lord never spoke that way. "Tell him to let the people leave the land, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't let them go." There's a lot in here that makes a normal Baptist, whatever that is, uneasy. It seems like God's being unfair to Pharaoh. because he tells him, let the children of Israel go. And then he says, I'm going to make sure he doesn't. I'm going to harden his heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. That is the sovereign will of God. He does whatever he wants to do. He's not unfair. I mean, he's not unjust. Fairness, as we see it, he probably is unfair to us because he doesn't give a, you know. But Pharaoh doesn't want to follow the Lord anyway. It's not like he's begging to follow the Lord and the Lord's not letting him. Pharaoh is raised up for the purpose of resisting God's command to let Israel go so that when he lets them go, it's with power. Not just a surrender. You know, what if Pharaoh right now would have let Israel go? Okay, go on. First thing, I get it. God says do it. I'm going to do it. Go on. And they all go. Head out in the wilderness and start down the path to the promised land. How different would it be? We wouldn't see any of God's power. We wouldn't see any judgment on Egypt. We wouldn't see any showcasing of God's glory over the Egyptian gods. We would not see the people tested by God regarding their obedience and their faith in God. We would not have a shadow of Christ, the Passover lamb, the shedding of blood, sprinkled on the doorpost, Jesus being the Passover lamb. We wouldn't have that. They would not see the demonstration of the power of God in the plagues and in through the Red Sea. And then the water in the rock and through the rock and all that could have been later. But being delivered from Egypt, they saw all the wonders of God. Wouldn't have seen any of that if Pharaoh just said, well, go on. Pharaoh is raised up. Pharaoh is made. Pharaoh is used for God. Pharaoh is not an independent person on earth. None of us are. Every one of us is made for God. And the fact that we don't fulfill God's ideal will does not mean that God does not fulfill his will in us in some way, such as with Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh is not going to heed them because God will harden his heart. Verse 4, he will not heed you so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Sometimes John Wayne says, go ahead and draw that weapon, pilgrim. Because he wants him to. Why? Because he's going to shoot him. Well, the Lord wants to communicate something about himself. You see, we lost that. The fact that Egypt is a Gentile nation. The fact that Egypt is not part of the promised seed of Israel doesn't mean they're any different than any of the rest of us in that they were made for God. We all came from the same start. Every one of us is made for the Lord. And they're not doing anything about that. They've done what everybody does. They've chosen their own gods to follow. And the Lord has chosen to show himself that he's the true God. And the Egyptians, verse 5, shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. That's the plan. So really, and I mentioned this before, Moses knows going in that every attempt up to the last that he makes with Pharaoh is going to fail. But he also has to live through the will of God. He has to bear up under the will of God. It's a hardship to hear Pharaoh reject God. It's a hardship to hear the people groan and complain. But he has to bear up under the will of God, just like all of us do. But the Lord says it's not going to work as far as letting you go that way, but it's going to work because when he lets you go, it's going to be by a powerful hand. And so we're told that's what they did. Verse 8. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, and you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh said, I got it. You see the nature of Pharaoh. He doesn't believe anything. He's a skeptic. Verse 11, Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. They made a rod that looked like a snake. How they did it, I don't know how most magicians do what they do. How they say pick a card, and you pick the card, and it's over there in a Coke bottle. I mean, all the way down the bottom of it. I don't know. But some say maybe been some stiff animal, insect, something like that. You put it down, it starts to wiggle around. I don't know. Whatever it was by their enchantments, they made the same thing. For verse 12, every man threw down his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. That's kind of a significant point. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. So the first thing is he drops that rod on the ground, it becomes a serpent. They do the same thing. Moses' rod devours the other serpent. Pharaoh is unmoved. So verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Note that is always the way the scriptures speak. We've got it both things here, that both are true. God hardens Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardens his own heart. Not with the same sovereignty as God, obviously. But as far as human will is concerned, Pharaoh is rejecting the will of God. God's will is rejected by people all the time. God says, you shall not kill or murder. People do that all the time. But God's sovereign will, you can't bust up. He's going to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. So he says here, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Who's at fault? Pharaoh is. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him, and the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. Again, who's not listening? Pharaoh. Who's hard? Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are in the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loathe to drink the water of the river. And so the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, over their rivers, over their ponds, and over all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river, so there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Yuck. all the fish dying, the blood in the river. Can't drink it. You know, the river, the Nile, was considered just about on divine terms. It was the river of life. It brought life into Egypt. It flowed up into the delta there. It brought all that growth. And it was honored, it was venerated. This is the Nile River. This is the great river. And it was turned to blood. The interesting thing, though, is that verse 22, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them. As the Lord had said, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. They had to dig for water around the river. Apparently, if you dug around, you could get water, but not from the river. Even water that was already in containers apparently turned to blood. The magicians did the same thing. Again, I don't know what they did. But it surely was not to the degree that Moses did. They could probably turn water into blood in a Dixie cup, but this is all through the land. Fish are dying. People are digging around to get water. A week goes by that way. Pharaoh says, not letting you go. Just as the Lord has said. Moses had been given another sign that he exercised for the people, the putting your hand in your coat, pull it out, in your bosom, pull it out, and it would be leprous and not leprous. He did that with Israel, but he went to the rod, to the serpent, and now the blood. God had given Moses that third sign of pouring water out on the land. It becomes blood. It seems this is a little bit different. But water turning to blood is the first plague. The first sign was the serpent. The second sign is the water turning to blood, but that's the first plague. And it strikes that which is dear to Egypt, that they venerate and honor and even have gods over, because the Lord's desire is to glorify his name in Egypt. We'll stop there. Any comments or thoughts you have on this?